Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine. Men, 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 mighty men. We're here today to talk a little bit about some needs. You've heard Abe countless times come up here and kind of share all the needs that the church has, you know, people to help out, whether it's be with the nurseries or the cleaning or, you know, Bible studies, whatever, you know, whatever needs are. And of course, we wouldn't be able to sit here and join in the house of worship if we didn't have people that are putting their hearts into making it happen. And so today we come to just bring up the need for ushers, okay? And we've had Steve and Sean, we've had Pastor Pat used to be a big part of it. But even now, this poor man needs a vacation. You know, so, you know, they put their hearts, they do what they need to do, but hopefully, as Abe has kind of brought up the need of the needs, maybe God's been speaking to your heart to try to get you to be a part of what this church does. And the need for ushers, it's I want to tell you that nothing that happens in this church is of less importance than the man that's going to be preaching here. Everything that takes place here, everybody that has a task to do is just as important as when the time comes for that man to preach, okay? That's what makes his job a lot easier, right? Because everybody is working together to bring it to pass, okay? So this is what we're asking for today. Today we're focusing on the ushers. And the ushers, Steve will tell you a little more about what they do, but it's really something that really brings joy to people's hearts, you know, to show them, to have answers, whatever it is that they need. So if for some reason God's been working in your heart and you've been wondering, well, where can I help? What can I do? Where would I fit? Well, this might be a place that you fit in. We need you today, right? We need them today. So if you're ready, come up here and we'll bless you. No, I'll let Steve tell you a little bit about what this is all about. But we really, at this point, need some ushers so that this man can have a vacation.
Well, ushering is much more than just greeting people at the door. I came from a ministry that the ushers were just, it was a ministry. And that's what I envision here, a real ministry. Just like the worship team prepares our hearts before the Lord, and then we hear from the Word, well, the ushers prepares the whole sanctuary with prayer.
Sorry. This just happens, and then it goes away. And he's caused it.
They pick the two wrong guys to be talking about this.
So ushering really is a ministry. It's not just happenstance. You don't just come and show up for an hour and just open the door and say goodbye and say hello. It really is a ministry, and it prepares the whole sanctuary. We pray over all the seats, and we pray that the anointing of God will come upon each person, that people who are sitting down or will hear the message that God wants them to hear. And we do need ushers, and I see this place growing, and we need lots of ushers. The church I came from, we had 70 ushers in one service, and we'll need that eventually. And it was much more than what you see here. It's a real ministry, and I really encourage anyone who wants to, who has love for people and wants to be the conduit between the Holy Ghost and the what happens in the worship service and the preaching. Ushers are part of that. So I just encourage anyone who wants to usher, just come see me, and I'll train, help you, and all that. And looking forward to talking to you. So thank you.
This includes ladies too, right?
Usherettes. Well, right now we have the usherettes. So, yeah, ladies can come. I mean, there's no distinction between men and ladies. Not in God's kingdom. Yes. Yeah, you don't want to mess with those mamas, right? So, anyways, Hank's going to come up now.
Morning, everybody. Happy Father's Day. So, another ministry that we have here, House of Worship, is Sunday morning adult Bible study. I know it's at 9 o'clock in the morning. Oh, 9 o'clock. Let me share a couple scriptures with you. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It's Ephesians 6:12. And another one. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war in the flesh. 2 Corinthians 10:3. A spiritual struggle is going on today, a struggle that is behind every physical struggle. It was actually behind World War II. It was responsible for the Korean conflict. It was responsible for the conflict in Vietnam, the Gulf War, and Afghanistan. And it's been the cause of every war from the day that Abraham went down to deliver his nephew Lot from the cities of the plain. It is responsible for what we call race riots in America and England, South Africa, and many other countries of the world, which actually is not a conflict between black and white or between civil rights and civil wrongs. It's really not. There's a spiritual conflict behind every physical conflict today. And a spiritual conflict is between light and darkness, between good and evil, between heaven and hell. It is ultimately between God and Satan. It began before man was ever created. In the scriptures, every now and then it surfaces. It came into sharp focus in the Word of God, and you can see it plainly. We can see it in the Garden of Eden when the conflict was first joined there, as far as man is concerned. You can see it in the lives of two men who were twins, Jacob and Esau. You see it again taking place in the soul of the man, Job, as he fought his battles. You see it again when God said, "The Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation." There would be no peace. There would have to be surrender. You see it in the conflict between Saul and David and between David and Goliath. You see it on the top of Mount Carmel when Elijah met the prophets of Baal. You see it in the temptation of Lord Jesus in the wilderness. As Paul wrote, For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another. It's Galatians 5:17. I have a question for you. How many plagues did God put on Egypt before his people were released? 10. That's correct. 10. Now, here's the real question. Why 10? Anybody know? Well, I tell you what. Next Sunday, 9 o'clock, in that room there, you come join us, and we'll go over the battle of the gods. For the Lord said, "I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord." See you guys next Sunday at 9.
I just want to tell the dads Happy Father's Day.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Today I got up early and I went for some stuff over at Walmart.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
And it kind of broke my heart because as I was walking around Walmart, there was some dads walking around. He's like, "Yeah, it's just Father's Day. It's just another day. You know, nobody cares about Father's Day." And that broke my heart because Dad, you are important to us.
Come on. Thank you, Lord.
I want you, Father, yes, to know Lord, that you are worthy.
Jesus, Jesus.
That you are loved.
Yes, Lord.
Although sometimes you don't feel it as a dad, you are worthy and you are loved. You guys are important to us.
Jesus.
You know, I happened to be born on Father's Day. That was the day that I was born.
Yeah.
And it's kind of interesting because the enemy tried so hard to sever that relationship between my father and I. But you know what, Dad, you're important to me. I love you, Dad. You're an example to me, to my
hallelujah.
Children, to my husband.
Hallelujah.
You
Jesus,
are an
Jesus.
Example of God's love and God's grace and God's mercy.
Yes.
I honor you for the things that you do, for how you fall before God and you put him and you trust him and you give him all the glory.
Thank you, Lord.
And I want you to know that you're important to me.
Hallelujah.
You know, it's funny because me as a young lady, when I was getting ready to get married, what did I look for in a husband? I looked for a man that was like my father because of the example that he showed me.
Come on.
I want you to
yes.
know, dads, that you be that example for your daughters. They'll look for that. You can ask my mom. I married my dad. It's funny, but
oh,
it's so true. They're
trouble.
So much alike. They're so much alike. But you know what? That man loves me with all of his heart, and I know it. And I just want you to know, fathers, that you are worthy.
Yes, Lord.
You are worthy of his love.
Jesus,
you are worthy
Jesus.
Of God's grace, of God's mercy.
Yes, Lord.
You are worthy that for your children to love you, to adore you, to stand up and to say, that's my dad.
Yeah.
And I want you guys to go away today knowing that it's not just another day. Today is a day that we celebrate you as a father, because without you, we would not be here today.
Amen.
So happy
praise
Father's
God.
Day.
Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Happy Father's Day. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. We're going to celebrate our Father, which is in heaven. Is that okay? Hallelujah. If you would, if you put up Psalm 96, verse 8. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't know what I did with mine. Did everybody, all you dads, let me ask you a question. Did you guys get one of these? Yeah, did you get one of these? If you didn't get one of these, make sure you get one, because we want you guys to have something from us for Happy Father's Day. I got to give mine to my wife. I don't have any money. She said, shut up. So, hey, honey, we got your money clip. Praise God. Hallelujah. Here's what the Word of God says. It says, give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Amen. Give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. How many of you know God is worthy to be glorified? Oh, man, it's bigger than that. How many of you know God is worthy to be glorified? Oh, come on, man. It's big, man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It says, bring an offering and come into his courts. Amen. How many of you know we're in the courts of the Lord right now? How many of you know that? We are before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I'm going to share a couple more scriptures. It says, Psalm 149, verse 3 says this. I like this one, man. Because maybe we can get you guys to do the cha-cha here a little bit. Hallelujah. It's coming up. Praise ye the Lord. Sing in the Lord a new song. How many say amen? I mean, some folks just don't like singing new songs. Well, I don't know this song, so I'm not going to sing it. Well, sing it. Amen. Hallelujah. Sing a new song. Hallelujah. It says, sing the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of saints. Amen.
Amen.
And it says this, let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Amen.
Amen.
Our Father. Praise God. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Come on. Sometimes being joyful shows up in a little kick. You know what I mean? Sometimes it can be in a jump. Sometimes it can be a woo. Amen. Come on, man. But be joyful. Hallelujah. Sometimes, how many of you know? I believe God loves to see the exuberance that his people have for him. And don't you think so? Wouldn't you say, yeah? I mean, so how many of you think, oh, yeah, God, I love you. Yeah, I love you, God. I mean, sometimes we have days that feel like that. Is that right? Can I tell you that what will help you in the days that are like that? You just start to say, God, man, I don't know what's going on here, man, but God, I praise you and I worship you. You are worthy of all the praise that I can muster up in the name of, amen, praise God. You'll find yourself in the glory of God. You'll find yourself in the presence of God, because the Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people. Do you know that? So you just start to praise him. No matter what's happening, he inhabits those praises. His presence comes up. How many say it rises? I got to remember that God has been saying to me, he says, make sure you let people know that my presence rises up from within them. You know, it's no longer, folks, God come down. God come down and bless us. God come down. The thing is, God dwells in you. And he says, man, let God arise and the enemies be scattered. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, man. We got to get these things, man. Hallelujah. So God, hey, open up to him in the presence of God. You'll find his presence. The word of God says this. In your presence, God, there's fullness of what?
Joy.
Fullness of what?
Joy.
Joy. Joy. Is joy the same as happiness? No, happiness comes from the outside. Joy comes from the inside. Amen? When things aren't going good. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
You can be full of joy. Is that right? Is that possible?
Yes.
Come on, man. Hallelujah. And when the joy begins to flow, I love when the joy begins to flow. You know why? What does the word of God say about joy? The joy of the Lord is our strength. God has commanded his strength to you, but that place is in his presence. Do you understand that? In the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. You see, we've got a place where we can go. Amen? Hallelujah. To get a refill. How many like refills? Ooh, I want to be refilled. I love refills. God, refill me. As a matter of fact, God, refill me to overflowing. Amen. Hallelujah. That maybe somebody else that stands around me or gets close to me can feel that flow. Amen. Hallelujah. How many desire that? Woo. Hallelujah. And today is a day that we're going to give glory that's due to his name. How many know that God has done some things for you?
Amen.
How many, is there anybody in the room where God has done nothing for you? I don't think so. You wouldn't be here. Hallelujah. Jesus said it this way, my Father works and so I work too. Is that right? Can I tell you the works of God are glorious? When he saved you, when you got saved, that was a miracle upon miracle. I mean, I'll tell you what, that to me, that was the best miracle I experienced. How do you say amen? Because, I mean, if you guys knew me, you'd say it a little louder. Amen. If God would save you, he can save anybody. Paul said that too, didn't he? I who am least among men, God chose me and set his love upon me. Hallelujah. Isn't he good? Is God good? Ooh, hallelujah. Psalm 40 verses 9 and 10. This is where I'm going to grab you. This is where I capture you this morning. Because there's going to be no sermon this morning. There's going to be testimony, testifying. I need to look around you. There's a lot of folks in here, so a short testimony is good. Is that right? God is good. God gave, or whatever. But here it says, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Amen? Yeah, come on. And it says, lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, you know. I have not hid your righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness, thy truth from the great congregation. How many say amen to that? This scripture right here captured me last night as I was trying to prepare a message. I kept coming back to this. I said, God, I'm not sure what's in this for us. But I really feel like the Lord is saying, hey, it's Father's Day. Let my children rejoice. Let them be glad. Let them declare my glory in the house, in the great congregation, if you will. Amen? Hallelujah. So that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to declare the great things that God has done for you. We're going to give you a time to come up so you can step to the microphone and just say, hey, this is what God did for me. How many of you here God did for you? Now listen, you don't have to. I understand there's some people that are shy. Is that right? I understand that. I'm going to tell you, I don't care. That's not being very nice, is it? That's not being very nice. Hey, no, I don't expect everybody to come up, but I do say, man, I know there's some folks here that have something that they want to say about the Lord. So come on, now, praise God. Let's just get this thing going. I mean, say amen. Hallelujah. Worship the Lord. And we'll have some songs in between, okay? Praise God.
Yes. Okay. All right. So to start the party, God gave us years. God gave us years and years and years, even through the pandemic, because on a December, I was looking at my husband and I'm like, how are we going to get out here? How are we going to come out here with our family? And that January, sometimes your prayers get answered in tough situations because Darren lost his job. And so we said, okay, do we look for something in Massachusetts or do we come out here? So we came out here about 12 years early than what we wanted to do. And that was one gift. Then when we got out here, he gets a job with the Air Force and he's able to buy back his 10 years of military time. So he's sitting at year 11 instead of year one. He gives us years and years back. When Job lost everything, he got it all back. And plus, I mean, and the blessings of our generations. He says he'll bless to 1,000 generations those that honor him. So let us hear some of your blessings today, because he gave us years and years and years, years to be with all of you.
I think I gotta say this. We have a special guest in the house. And how do you welcome a special guest? The special guest is Jesus. Jesus is in the house. Give him an applause. Raise your voices. This is what we're all about today. Jesus is in the house. Praise him. Raise him up to the heavens and he'll touch you. Jesus is in the house. Bless us, O Lord. Bless us, O Lord.
Okay. I'm gonna do my solo now. No, you don't want to hear me sing. I feel like like most of the times I come up here, it's like I have to point out something like, we need to love better in this way. But, you know, I'm happy because today it's not going to be that. Like, woo! Woo! Right? Woo! Woo! Gosh! I love that Oscar. Woo! Woo! Yeah. So, you know, I've been at like, kind of like, I don't know, I had a little funk, feel a little down like a couple days ago. And, you know, it's just one of those things that's kind of like, you know, again, God, this, more, what, you know? But the thing I always know is that there's always somewhere I can go. There's always somebody I can look to that's always going to take care of that situation. You know, there's been times where I've been like super tired, where I'd come to church 2 to 3 hours of sleep. And, you know, I would never be that person to be like, well, I'm tired. I don't want to go to church. I'm just going to sleep in today. Because I know a lot of times if I just push through and, you know, no matter how I'm feeling, that God's going to show up for me because I showed up for him. Because he knows I'm seeking him with all my heart. And, you know, I said this at the men's breakfast yesterday. You know, the whole reason I'm like, you know, walking with God right now is not so much because of my dad, because he wasn't really, you know, a follower of Christ to begin with. So you know, I thank my mom for filling in that spot. And then, you know what? Like I said, you know how God shows up, how God is faithful. Before he passed, and a while before he passed, he was walking with Christ. So I was so thankful for that. And, you know, I just think, you know, that somebody needs to hear that. Is like, you know, we have a Father that is faithful. So faithful. He's so good. And that, you know, in Isaiah talks about, you know, it was, let me get the exact word here. I mean, this sounds, to me, I could not imagine. When we look at, in Isaiah, where it talks about Jesus before he goes to the cross, you know, the plan that God, our Father, had for Jesus, that he said, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Like, I could not imagine doing that with my son. But, you know, God has this way of thinking that we just do not have. And I you know, I'm so grateful for the gift that he gave us with his son. The gift of the Holy Spirit, creating us with a plan and a purpose. The reason I just get on that all the time, like, find your calling, find your ministry, do something for the church, is because it just completely changes everything. Everything. You have no idea how amazing it is to follow God and what he's got planned for your life. I mean, I'm like so grateful for this church, these people, because like I love you all. Because you really are my family. And you, I just want to finish with this here. And it's a prayer from Ephesians. So if you would, just pray with me. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that being rooted and established in love may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church, in Christ Jesus, throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Come here, man. Let me just say something real quick. You know what? This guy was drafted by this church. We were sitting back here and our computer jacked up. Is that the right word? Yeah. Jammed up, jacked up. I don't know.
It works. It works.
And people were looking around. They're looking at me. I got you. His mom tells him, get up there, boy. Amen. Amen, Linda?
Yes.
Come on, man. She says, hey, you know what's going on. Get over there and do that. And we've had him ever since. Amen? Praise God. Hey. Thank God for praying moms. Amen?
Amen.
Thank God. Thank you, Lord. Good man. Love you, bro. Thank you. Come on, Linda. Come on. Oh, hand it back. Who is it? Hey, praise God.
This is on?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't come up here very often, but I just want to say to everybody, you guys are amazing, because I've never been anywhere where you have to wait in line to come up and give a testimony. I love it. I think it's awesome. Thank you. Listen. This week, I had the opportunity to be the saddest person in this whole place, probably. But it was like a challenging time for me. And so there was a point where I was at my lowest and I was crying my eyes out and I was, you know, pretty depressed. And then all of a sudden, when I was in my prayer on my knees, Within myself, I heard this word very softly, persecution. Gee whiz, where did that come from? But in this situation I was in, that's really what it was. And okay, I'm not going to cry. I've done plenty of that, and I don't feel like that anymore, but that's just some false little dart flying at me right now. So I just wanted to read to you something. It's out of Matthew 5. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice. How are you supposed to do that when you're being persecuted? Well, I did, and guess what? I have the joy of the Lord. And I did, you know. And I don't feel bad about that situation or that person anymore. I gave it all to the Lord.
This thing's too tall. Hey, you know what? We come in all sizes. And blessings, right? This is, I have this word I want to share with you, and it's Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. One of the things that I hadn't noticed until today, in fact, this morning, was that the word was Jesus, and he's with us always. And, you know, we have an arsenal in our Bible of tools and weaponry that we can use to help us become victorious. It's so important that we stand on his word. For whatever issue in your life, it's in the Bible. I've been going through a lot of trials lately, but you know, he gives me strength to get through those trials, and he brings me blessings when I least expect it. And it's because I'm standing on his word, and I'm knowing that even when sometimes I feel like he's not there, he is. Sometimes he's carrying me, and sometimes, you know, I feel him when he walks beside me, when he goes before me, when he is there behind me. I just feel his presence, and it's so important that when we are going through trials and tribulations, he can take those attacks and turn them around. And the other thing that I notice is that when I spend time ministering to others and loving on others and letting them know about our Lord, then he takes care of every need that I have. But he also is there in strength and might, and he encourages me. And sometimes when I'm talking to someone, he's talking to me too. And it's just so nice that, you know, you can minister, but God ministers to you through what you're sharing with that person. And you kind of laugh and think, you know, Lord, thank you. You know, he's got a sense of humor, and it's good that he does, because even when we fail him, he still doesn't leave us. He doesn't forsake us. So please utilize the tools that he's given us. Utilize the word that he shares with us and that we are to share with others. And we're not to be afraid. You know, we just take each moment from glory to glory, from victory to victory, and we have victory in everything. It's just that we've got to realize that God's word is true and that God's word will bring us through. We can't do it in ourselves, and too often we try. Now I really spend a lot of time asking him, Lord, should I do this? Should I do that? Where should I give my money to? What should I spend it on? And, you know, he's been making a way for me that I thought was impossible. And he's showing me, you know, what my next step is in my life. And, you know, I'm going to continue ministering for him. But he's going to give me a stronger ministry, and I'm so excited about that. You know, I've always felt I had a good one, but, you know, it's just amazing how he takes us up different levels and different notches. So please be encouraged that if you stand on anything, stand on his word and know that he's right there with you, whether he has to carry you or walk beside you. just know that he is there for you and that we have everything we need in his word. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Heather, and some of you guys might have remembered me from before. On July 4th, 2016, I was married at this church. On July 16th, 2019, I woke up paralyzed from the waist down. I was in the hospital, emergency room, St. Joseph's Hospital, and then they didn't. I was in a car accident 5 years ago that shattered the left side of my body. They were going to do the surgery on my spine, and they realized I have scoliosis now, so they can't do the surgery. So they told me the only thing they could do was pain management. Pastor Henry has been in my family since I was 13 years old. Nancy used to bring me to church when I was little. God brought me back here right before I was paralyzed. My family, my biological family, has yet to see me once. They walked out of my wedding on July 4th, but Pastor Henry in this church has been there for me. They come to the hospital. They went to the nursing home. They brought me stuff to my house. I knew there was something I was missing. I've always loved Jesus. I have 48 kids. I'm a street mom, okay? I got little ex-gang members, ex-prison people. I've taken in kids for 18 years. I didn't realize during all this that it was time for me to do what God wanted me to do. And I was too busy. I was too busy to hear what he wanted me to do. I was listening, but there was more. I got a couple of things here that helped me through the last 2 years. One, be still and know that I'm God. If anybody knows me, you know how stubborn I am, and I don't have a filter, and I wouldn't be still, so he made me be still. I also love football. I have a 70-inch TV. I watch Dallas Cowboys. He made me a Cowboys fan, so I know what it's like to stand up for people that other people don't like. So now I can stand up for Jesus because I can stand up for Dallas. My 70-inch TV broke. So, and my husband relapsed and left me in hospital bed for 6 days. By the way, he's fine. He's part of my army. So I was paralyzed in a second story apartment where they had to carry me up and down in my wheelchair. I couldn't go outside. And if you know me, you know I don't like being inside. My TV broke, my husband left. And I got moved in next door to one of Satan's minions who was burning fire in front of my house and coming inside and all kinds of crazy stuff, trying to get me to stop reading the Bible, whatever. But I learned from her how much they love Satan. She called him her father. She would talk to him and she says, I'm talking to my father right now. He says he wants you to stop reading the Bible. I know what I was created for. So do we, and we don't like it. Get away from me. So I'm sitting here going, okay, now I live next to one of Satan's minions and I'm paralyzed and my husband's gone and I don't have a TV and I ended up with bed bugs, which I don't leave the house. So I lost all my furniture. I had a blow-up mattress. I turned my TV stand into a prayer table. And I sat my wheelchair in front of it every day. All I had was my Christian music that was always playing K-Love in my kitchen where I couldn't get to it to turn it off. I wanted to turn it off so bad. I wanted to turn it off so bad and I couldn't. So there was something I was missing. So I spent the last 2 years breaking that Bible down, and now I can translate it into ghetto like no other. I'm learning Hebrew, Arabic, and Greek and translating it. I have 100 disciples. I'm one of them, so I have 99 sheep that I am teaching what I've learned. And I just got home because I'm still doing all this, not being able to walk. Barely with a wheelchair. I started in Ventura Beach when I started my healing. Pastor Henry kept telling me, Isaiah 53:5, by his stripes you are healed. Stop saying you're paralyzed. Get up and walk. And I would get mad. We'd fight. I can't walk. He said, yes, you can. No, I can't. So I went on a road trip with two of my disciples because I'm going to be building misfit hotels across the United States for abused children. And two people that I've known for 14 years, I hadn't seen in a long time. Only two idiots that would abandon me 3,000 miles away from home in Ohio. With my walking stick, my oxygen tank, my leg compression cuffs. What do I do now? They said, get rid of, take the rental car back and fly home. I said, no. No. I'm not going to be scared anymore. And I'm not going to be scared of anybody abandoning me anymore because I have Jesus. Okay? I drove that car to Pennsylvania to my cousin's house, and then we went to New York, and then we went back to Pennsylvania, Tennessee, and I was like, I got 4 hours left to Arizona. I'm almost home. And God says, no, you're not. I said, yes, I am. I only have 4 hours left. He goes, did Moses go part of the way through the Red Sea or all the way? Where did it start at? Ventura Beach. So I said, I guess I'm driving all the way across the United States. I'm Forrest Gump, Joe Dirt, all the way across. I'm like, okay. By the way, in Ohio, I dumped out all my pills. No pain meds, no depression meds, nothing but ibuprofen and vitamins in my body. I Old Testament cleansing myself because Pastor taught me about I have no pork in me, nothing but vegetables. I lost like 30-some pounds, just me, and I Old Testament cleanse because I'm a teacher. Teachers are held at a higher standard. So I'm going to hold myself at the highest standard there is. By the time I got home, which was like 2 weeks ago, I have no medication in me, no back braces, no leg braces, and no surgery. And I'm walking. It started here. I found the secret of life in the Bible while I was reading it, and I'm sorry that I'm taking a little bit longer. I watched Steve Harvey's success story. I watched him a lot while I was paralyzed. He said, Habakkuk, verse 2:2-3. And the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so a herald will run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time and speaks to the end and will not prove false. Though it may linger, wait for it will certainly come and not delay. That verse changed my life. You have to write it down. That's it. If you already believe in God and Jesus, we have to write it down and we have to read it every single day. That's the only way you can transform your mind because God really gives you everything you want. Murderers, they think about murdering people. They get what they want. Good people, they whatever you think about. You think about bills all day long, you're getting more bills. You have to change the way you think, and the way you have to do that is you have to do it every single day. My paralyzation saved my life and the souls of all my children. So I received the Holy Spirit in 2020. And it was the most amazing thing in the whole world. I've been trying to speak in tongues since I was 13. And then I wanted to die. I just laid down on the floor and wanted to die. How am I going to go to heaven without all my kids? It wouldn't be heaven without all my kids. So now I have sacrificed my free will so that I can drive across the United States, find more kids like mine, go where there's good people, teach them the secret of life. And that's all I'm going to do for the rest of my life. I have the Misfit Army of Disciples and the Breadbox Ministry. I am speaking to pastors all over the world that want me to missionary, but I still have 2 years of school left, so they got to wait. Jesus is real. He's in you, and the voice is in you. He's on the left side, okay? If Jesus is inside you, I taught for 17 years. If he's inside you, he's facing the same way as you. That means if he's God's right-hand man and his right hand is your right hand, your left side of your brain works the right side of your hand. The right side of your brain is the creative side. That's the side Lucifer uses to manipulate us. And how I explain it to my kids is there's like three pit bulls in your brain. One's you, one's God, and one's Lucifer. Whichever one you feed is the one that gets the strongest. Every single day, I'm gonna end with the last prayer that I do on a daily basis. If I can swallow, because when I get nervous, I can't. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me to the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table for me before my enemies. Thou anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is a great place to be. God bless you all.
Hi, everybody. I don't need a mic. I'm loud and I'm not shy. But I want to celebrate my father in heaven. Yeah. I don't have an earthly father. My mom is my mom and my father. But that's all I need is my heavenly father. So I just literally moved from California and I prayed, Lord, I need to meet people, godly people. And of course, I met Deborah, divine appointment. I knew it. And I'm here today. But the story I want to tell is about my Heavenly Father and one of the many miracles he's done for my family. God speaks to me in dreams. My mom, about almost 4 years ago, came back from Spain visiting our family. And when she returned, she had a little bit of diarrhea. It wouldn't go away. So we thought maybe she caught a parasite. Long story short, it was colon cancer. I knew it was a generation curse, but when she called me, I know from this day where I was when I received that news, and my body I just hung over like in defeat, and I go, wait a second, what's wrong with me? How many times have I heard testimonies throughout the years, God's healing? I mean, I come from a church where my pastor in California was an ex-gang member. I said, Lord, so my mom and I started holding hands and praying, Jesus, heal her, heal her. We break off that generation curse, divorce, cancer. We rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Shortly after that, God gave me a dream. The dream was this. He showed me a torso. I see a finger coming out. And there's lines. The finger, and in my spirit, I can feel healed. It went on forever. Healed. When I got up, I knew without a doubt that God was going to heal my mom, or she was already healed. So I told her. But in the meantime, she had to start her chemo. They had just taken the tumor out, and we started. She needed 6 months. After 2 months, she was dying. The chemo was killing her. She fainted in the doctor's office. Right then and there, we decided we need to go back to the oncologist and we're done. My mom had already prepared. And I said, no, God has already healed you. We need to stop the chemo. So we went back to the oncologist and I gave her my testimony, the dream. She goes, what religion are you? I go, I'm born again Christian. And my mom is healed, and you don't need to give us the disclaimer. It's okay. My mom will live. God's not a liar. So she starts giving me all the paperwork, copies of the paperwork, but she brings out an anatomical model. And when I saw that anatomical model, she is explaining the tumor that they took out. And I go, wait, what are those lines? Those lines, she goes, those are lymph nodes. I go, that was in my dream. I looked at my mom. I go, she said, the lymph nodes are the ones where cancer travels and it spreads. And I go, God showed me it wasn't going to spread. And she was healed. That was the complete answer. He had described what I didn't understand, the lines. And then later on, I kept on reading the finger of God. So that was the dream. 4 years later, my mom's alive. And I wanted to glorify my Heavenly Father, because I thought for a minute there in the beginning, I go, look at all the things he's done. I'm so special to him and my mom, you know. And I love you, Jesus. Happy Father's Day.
come in all sizes.
All right. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the first present and gift that you gave to me was your salvation. Secondly, when I was 17 was the first time that my back went out of place doing gym class. I couldn't get up off of the floor at the in the gym. So I had to go to a chiropractor, and then that went on many times in my life. And after I accepted the Lord and was going to Bible studies, they prayed for me that my one leg would get longer than the other one and that I might have a back healing. And so by faith, I accepted that, but it took about a 6 months of my working through it. And then one day I went to a chiropractor who was a Christian, and he was playing different testimonies as you were in the waiting room. And one of the things that went on that particular day was that there was a testimony where Peter was, and the apostles were around in the fire, and Peter denied him three times. And as I was in the waiting room, and normally I got there and there was nobody in the room at all, but that particular day, it was filled with people. And somebody across the room asked, "Why are you here?" And I said, "I'm here to be checked for healing." And I turned around because I figured they'd think it was all crazy. But that particular day, as the doctor came in and he was asking me, why I'm crying. And it was because God showed me that day. It was like I had not had any kind of symptoms, or I mean, not confirming from God, and I was saying, "God, please show me that I'm healed before I have to, tell somebody." And of course, it wasn't until I spoke forth. And then as I was sitting in there waiting for it felt like the top of my head came off and the warm water was just, hot water was just pouring down and through, down through my spine. And so from then I knew, because I said, "Well, isn't there any way that you can check that I'm healed?" He says, "Well, we have this machine and we're going to run it down your back. And if there's any kind of subluxation or whatever there," he says, "that I'll be able to tell that there's still a problem because there's heat." "You can take your machine. I know that I'm healed. I don't need you telling me that I'm healed. I know." And so from that time, I never had to go to the chiropractor again. So healing one. The second healing, a couple years ago, I was coming back from the White Mountains and I could hardly walk as I got out of the car. And I thought that it was a pinched nerve in my back. So I went through that day trying to do different exercises to get the nerve. And 2 days later, as I struggled through all this, I went to sit down and I write my name and it was itsy bitsy teeny weeny. And I showed it to my husband. He said, "Oh, we need to go to the emergency room. There's something wrong." So I went over and they went through all of the tests and they told me that I had a stroke. And in looking at the thing, I probably had two other ones. And so the only effect that I had was these fingers. I couldn't write right, and I had to do some exercises. But God has healed that, taken away all of the symptoms, all of the whatever. So that's healing too. And the third one, my sister had gone to have a mammogram, and they saw that she had an issue, and they said she was possibly breast cancer. And I had not had a mammogram in 8 or 10 years. So I was going to go for a bone density test. So I thought, okay, well, I'm just going to, go through the motions, but there's not going to be anything. Well, they found a lump. And later on, they said that it was cancer. So there again, I said, "Father, I'm putting this before you again, you know, it's in your hands. And so they took the lump out, and they said that the lymph nodes were clear. And so I just determined I was not going to take any other medication. They wanted me to have chemo. They wanted me to take the pills. But like you said, when Jesus says you're healed, you're healed. Yeah. So, amen.
Praise God. God is good, isn't he? He's all the time. I just want to say happy Father's Day to all you fathers, too. And my dad, I was thinking about my dad as we were singing, and he passed away in 2007. And I didn't get to really be close to him as a daughter because he had like two or three jobs all the time. And so he was always working and stuff, but he was a really loving dad. And I still felt special. He just always made me feel special. And I mean, there were seven of us, so there was a lot, of us. I was a baker of the home. I would bake all the time, and he loved my cookies. He was so excited, and he said, "Can you make some cookies so I can take them to my coworkers and stuff?" And so he was really excited about that. Well, along came Rick, and he liked Rick at first. and him and my dad got along really good and everything, but when Rick asked for my hand, he didn't like him anymore. And as a matter of fact, him and his mom and dad went to our hello to go ask for my hand, and his parents were saying, "Rick, make sure you know where the exit door is in case he runs us out of here." In case he gets mad and runs us out of here. And so, but anyhow, my dad was a very religious man, him and my mom. And I just got to say that my dad, my husband, he brought my dad to the Lord. My husband always talked to my dad about the Lord. And my dad struggled with a lot of anxiety and fear and stress. And when my husband would talk to him, my dad would just be crying and crying. Just, I could see that the Lord touched him so strongly. So, so first of all, I just want to say I have four sons, and one of them is here. And I just want to tell you, Renato, I'm very proud of you as a daddy. I'm very proud that you love your children so much. And you love your family so much. I want to just thank you for that. I love you, Renato. And you know, all my sons are our daddies. And do they struggle? Yes. Every daddy struggles, right? And sometimes, you know, but the only one is Father God that can give you the strength. As a matter of fact, this morning I sent a text message to my sons and I said, "I love you very much. I'm proud of you for the dad that you are." And I said, "But if you're struggling in any area, just keep your eyes on Jesus. He's the one that's going to give you the wisdom and the strength to raise your children." And just one more thing I just want to say. I want to say, babe, thank you for being the dad that you are. I know that you went through a lot in your life. And you had a choice to be the good dad or the dad that, or the bad dad. You had a choice, and the choice that you made was to be an awesome dad. Because I see you that you love your sons so much. And you know, sometimes my kids, they say, "Dad, all you do is talk about Jesus. That's all you do, you know." As a matter of fact, my oldest son, he says, "Dad, if I'm going to take somebody over to your house, I know I'm going to have to get them ready because you're going to talk to them about Jesus and you're going to get them saved. He tells them that. He says, Dad's got to get them ready sometimes if they don't. I got to get them ready because I know you're going to always be there talking about Jesus. And so I just want to, the other thing too, I just wanted to say, as I was worshiping, I was really sensing that there's someone here that you don't even know why you're here. Or maybe you don't really even, you didn't even really want to be here. I was really sensing that in my spirit. And I just want to say that today was ordered by the Lord, Pastor. Because like that song says, you called and I answered. Today, just answer him because he's calling you.
Yeah, this has really been a good service today, really anointed. And there's been a theme here. First of all, glorify God. And he is a good God. He's absolutely good. And I've experienced that through my whole life, since I was 17 when I accepted Christ, that he's been good and always there for me and with me, even when I wasn't there with him. And just one moment. So what the doctor said, I had a permanent head injury or disease, and I was really struggling with that. And it wasn't until the pastor told me, it's not about you, Steve. And that's what I was making it. It was all about me. And as soon as I gave God the glory and the permission, he healed me. And no drugs. They said, the doctor said, the only thing that would make me comfortable was with drugs. And they could medicate me, and no drugs at all. And I'm totally healed. But we have so many things to be thankful to God for. Our daughter is coming. She's talking to us now. And it's full. God is a God of restoration. And I just know that God is absolutely good. And we put on ourselves all this shame and in our head. Someone was talking about in their head. We need to have our head, our mind, renewed each day. And that's our mind, our will, and emotions. That's our soul. And that's what God wants, is to heal our souls and renew. And so we can walk into the kingdom. And that's what God wants us to do, walk into the kingdom. And just like Heather, I was with Heather a lot of that time when I've seen her up and down, mostly when she was down. And she's an amazing woman of God. And we can all be amazing. And we just have to step out of the boat and trust God. And he's done all the work. So. And this girl here is amazing, too.
Thank you. First, I just want to honor all the dads in here. My dad is here, too, and I want to honor my dad. For all the dads in here, I know when I, one time in particular, I had taken my dad's truck without permission and I was totally inebriated and I ran into a brick wall. And by the grace of God, I didn't kill anybody. And when I got home, I remember I looked at my dad, and my dad, through his eyes, just came love. And God so loved the world so much that he gave. And to this day, my dad still continues to give. He gives in every day in love. And so I just want to honor my dad. And then I just want to honor my dad and my father in heaven because he just loves us so much. And he has restored my family and Nancy and John and Nancy. And we used to be fighting. And now we love and now we hug. And now we're at church. And we used to just be crazy. And now we're just, God is so good. And I just want to honor God. So thank you guys.
Are we on? Here we are. Happy applause to everybody. That's my beautiful wife, the one just spoke a little while ago. The Lord gave her to me. I prayed for her for years. And I was always a guy that was looking at other women and, Lord, I want that one. Lord, I want that one. But God said, no, I got one for you. I came to Arizona. I met her. Was it, can you remember, was it 6 weeks later? We were married. That's how fast it was. I go, wow. Well, God is good. God said, when you find a wife, you find a good thing. I found a good thing. You know, but God has changed my life. The Bible says, though I walk in the flesh, I war not according to the flesh. For the weapons of my warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. For the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I used to walk in the flesh. Man, I was a man that just gave into this flesh. Whatever this flesh wanted, I gave. I gave it. I was so mean to my kids when they were little. You know, but I know there's a God because he changed me. He changed me. I could never change without him. You know, the Bible says to give honor where honor is due. Lord, I give you honor, Lord. I thank you because you changed me. You know, but I just want to tell you, man, you know what? That we serve a good God, a very good God. And the first girl that spoke up here was my daughter. I love my daughter very much. I pray for her. I pray for Renee. You didn't know I was praying for you. But there's one prayer that he does remember. And I'll tell you right now. My daughter was getting ready to go to, what part of Mexico, Renee, was it you guys were up there? Puerto Vallarta. He goes, Dad, I'm going to go to Puerto Vallarta and I'm going to be up there with Renee. And I go, Lord, I go, God works in mysterious ways. It's so crazy. I go, Lord, I don't want this man to have intimacy with my daughter. Lord, I want you to cover her. She's going to go up there, Father God, and I want you to cover my daughter, Lord God, because I want her to be pure for her husband. I didn't know. He's laughing because he knows what happened. He was leaving his hometown. He had to take a bus to get to Puerto Vallarta. He was so, so sick when he was taking off. Didn't even know that his appendix had erupted on the inside. His mom gave him all kinds of medicine, everything else. Take this. He's drinking all this stuff, and all this poison is going all over the place. He gets to where my daughter's at, and she sees him really blown up, really fat. She goes, man, he gained a lot of weight, you know. And he goes, Monica, they went to the hotel, went to the room, according to what he's telling me. And he goes, Monica, just remember that I love you. I love you so much. She said, Dad, he went to the restroom. He got on his knees trying to throw up, and all of a sudden his eyes went back. And there was a doctor there. She started screaming for help. I need help. And Renee, thank God there was a doctor there. They somehow got him downstairs. And she goes, Dad, this is happening with Renee. This is going on. And they just told me that either we can take him to this hospital where it's going to take time for them to see him, or we pay so much money they can see him right away. I go, take him there. I'll send you the money. It goes $3,000. That was an expensive prayer. Huh? So there goes $3,000. I go, here, Emmy, I just do what you got to do. So she did that. And thank God he came out of it. He was alive. The Lord's been trying to kill this man since he's been born. Renee, there is so much in you that God's going to do through you. Not, I don't know when it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. When he was born, his mom had her appendix erupted when he was in the womb. He was struck by lightning. I mean, this man is just a miracle. If he goes and tells you his story one after another, that God has really been saving him for a special reason. You know, God tells us this. He goes, you know what? He goes, he says, I am the way. He didn't say the world is the way. He didn't say drugs is the way. He didn't say, you know what? He said, I am the way. And that's, if you really want to know what the way is, then get the word of God and open it up, and he's going to tell you what the way is. Because that's who he is. He goes, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Then you know what? There's many doors, but you know what? He's the only door. And when you enter through that door, and once you take that first step in there, you know, my spirit used to never get hungry for the word of God. Not until I started feeding that spirit. You know, when you start reading the word of God, you get hungry. It's like, you know, I need more. I need more. I need more. You know, and man, we need to, us as the priests of the home, it is our responsibility to become that man of God. Because you know what? If we come as a man of God, our wives are going to come. Our kids are going to come. You know what? If you're struggling with something, again, I tell the man this over and over, whatever you're struggling with, the Bible tells us, like the verse I just said right now is that though we walk in the flesh, we war not according to the flesh. For the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. For the pulling down of strongholds. Those strongholds are spirits that are holding you in different places. But God says, you know what? I've given you power over the enemy. So we have the power. We have all the power that we need over the enemy. I don't know where the enemy is stopping you from going forward. But all you got to do, the Bible says, you know what? You speak to the mountain and command it to move. Whatever mountain is in your life, whatever is not allowing you to do it, you know, you speak to it and say, you know what? I had enough of this. I had enough of this. And you say, no, you know what? I'm not going to listen to you anymore, enemy. You know, I come against you in the name of Jesus Christ. I command you to get off my children. I command you to get away from my home. You know what, Lord God? This house is your house, Lord God. You know what? And we have to speak, man. We have to get up and speak. You know what? Because the enemy, I mean, you are right now, and somebody talked about it earlier, where you're at right now in life is because of the way you've been thinking. So in other words, if you want to change, the only way we're going to change is that we got to open up the word of God. Okay? And when we start reading his, what happens is that we take our thoughts, and we lay them down, thoughts that is the word of God, and then we put them in. And when we start getting those thoughts, okay, then things start happening. You know, a lot of times we watch a lot of television, and just think about this. Television. See, the televisions, it's going to give you a vision of other stuff, vision of the world, vision for this, a vision for that, a vision for this. But if we get the word of God, we'll have a vision. Oh, my God, we'll have a kingdom vision. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to, you know, and I was telling my wife, I go, babe, and I'm going to be honest with you guys. I go, babe, I've been watching too much TV lately. I go, we need to start doing something different. I go, because if I keep this up, I'm not going to be able to keep going forward. I go, if you want to change, you got to do something different. You know, so this is just for me to you, man, today. You know, if you want more of God, then do something different. This year, do something different. This year, if you're standing right here, and then by next year, and if you want to move forward, then you know what? If you open the word of God and do something different every day, even if it's just prayer, if it's just a little bit of a word of God, whatever it is, you're going to see yourself growing and growing and growing. But I just want to thank God for you, Renee. Because I see how you are with my daughter. I love the way you protect her. My daughter's been through a lot. And when she left us, she left me a note. She goes, Dad, I'm leaving. Not to leave, I'm leaving to get up. And when she met Renee, he wasn't a man of God. But he has so much God in him, he doesn't even know it. So when she left, Renee tells her, well, Monica, are you always going to sit in a victim chair? Or do you really want to start a life with? Because she first, what she's been through, she didn't like men anymore. She said, you know what? I don't like no man. I just want to be by myself. I don't want to get married. I can't stand men. But this man helped her. He helped her change. He helped her get up. And now she's just such a woman of God. And but she told me of a dream. I'll tell you real quick, a dream that she had about Renee before she met Renee. And she goes, Dad, she goes, I had a dream last night. I go, what's your dream? She goes, I dreamed there was a lot of people coming over the house. And she goes, the house was packed. She goes, and my baby girl was crying. So I went in the house. I go, okay. She goes, but it was packed. She goes, but they didn't come to see you, because I thought they were coming to see me because I was going to preach or something. Okay. She goes, but they came to see my husband. I go, what do you mean? She goes, Dad, he was such a man of God. He was preaching to all of them. I said, Lord, I'm grabbing that prayer. I'm taking it, and I'm going to pray it in until it happens. I'm taking it. So you are a man of God. Get ready to preach. Amen. Love you guys.
Hey, guys. We're going to end with one more song. If you guys want to stand and join us.
Something that I want to share. Seeming it be Father's Day, it feels appropriate. couple years ago, my brother-in-law, Elijah, and his wife, Sunny, were trying to get pregnant for a really long time. And for whatever reason, they were unable to get pregnant. They thought they were going to have to go through fertility and stuff like that after talking to her. And they came out here 1 March. And it was to take our pictures, our family pictures. And Sunny and I just got to talking. And before they left, I said, let me pray for you guys. And the Lord had me tell them that within a year, they were going to have a baby in their arms. And almost exactly 1 year to the date, Aiden was born. So we were actually there. We made it to San Diego just before he was born. We were in the waiting room. God gave us the honor to be able to do that. And so we went in and we saw Aiden, and here I held this precious baby that God had me prophesy was gonna come and be born. Amen. Don't laugh at this, but I gave him a kiss on the forehead, and they both looked at me in shock, like, how dare you? And I said, what? And they're like, we haven't even kissed him yet. And so I said, well, it's only fitting because God told me first that he was coming. So he came out here, what was the last week, babe? He came out here about a week ago. Aiden is about 16 months now. And I just watched him walking around the first day that he was there. And I couldn't figure out why I felt so like, almost like quiet and like still and just, I don't know if you guys ever gotten that feeling, but then all of a sudden the Lord gave me this picture in my mind, and I saw Aiden placing his hands on people and he was prophesying. And the Lord said to me, he is going to prophesy and he is going to speak the words of God over people. He's going to speak my heart. And so before they left, they stayed with mom and dad for a little bit, and then they came back on Tuesday. And before they left, I said, let me pray for you again. And I had already mentioned to Sunny about how Aiden had something to say, that he wanted to say something, that he wanted to prophesy. And so we prayed, and I told Elijah and Sunny what the Lord had showed me. And Elijah told me, you know what? You're the second person that has told us this. They had a baby dedication, and during that baby dedication, their pastors said the very same thing. And then I called my mother-in-law after they left, and I said, Mom, this is what God has shown me, and this is what was said during their baby dedication. And she was like, oh my gosh. She's like, when they were here, I was sitting next to him and I laid hands on him and I was praying over him. And I just began to pray that he would prophesy. There's three testimonies that God is speaking over this child, his destiny, that he is called to be a prophet. So if you have something that you feel in your spirit that God wants you to speak over your family, over people around you, you never know what kind of impact you're going to have. I find it such an honor that God would allow me to be able to be in that position to speak life, to speak life into existence. And this life that was born is going to speak life into existence. And then it's just going to be a trickle. So keep it going. Keep speaking what God tells you to speak. I wasn't sure. I'll be honest. I was like, I don't know if this is the Lord or not, but I'm going to go for it and I'm just going to say it. Well, it ended up being the Lord. So take a chance.
So I still got something. Hey, I still got something. So, well, I don't know, like, just lately, like, I don't know, people saw me on my phone. I wasn't messaging anybody or anything. So, lately, he's just been on me saying, like, you have all this pushed inside of you. And what you're doing is holding back every single time. And I was kind of like, oh, I don't want to say anything because I don't want to offend somebody. is this the right thing? Is this even you? I don't know what to do. And he says, hey, you like talking to everybody else. Why can't you talk about me? Like, you know about everything else, but you don't talk about me. And then, are you ashamed of me? And I'm not, but I just, during the times that we're at right now, it's really tough because things that you say, you know, you can push people away or you can bring them in closer. You know, it's really, really scary times, but I don't care anymore. So it's what he's talked about, and especially during Father's Day, you know, is when I hear people come into the mall every single time. I was telling the guys, I challenged the guys yesterday as well. And I feel that it's, if we challenge the guys, I challenge the women as well, too, because we all have to do it together because we can't do this by ourselves. You know, there's no one greater, the men or women. We all have to be in this together. We have a big responsibility that we have to share with everybody. So one thing is that when I hear people say that they don't have a father, right? I've always said that, too. Growing up, the same way I grew up was, you know, my dad wasn't around for growing up for a little bit. So God brought him back. So I ended up getting two fathers. And so, sorry. But so when I hear it, it really bothers me. It jumps into like, just like something in my soul. Like it really hurts me because I tell everybody, no, like that's not true. God has been with you all the way through. Everywhere you've walked, everything you've touched, he's been there with you. I think someone had painted a picture with 2 feet in the sand, and then it was 4 feet in the sand. And when people are walking by themselves and they see just two footprints, the next 2 footprints, and they see 3 footprints, it was that when we failed, he carried us and dragged us. You know, and so it just painted a picture, and I tell people, guys, God has been there with us from the beginning, and he will be with us to the end. And so when people say, I don't have a father, I can't believe that. You know, he's been there. Father's Day to me is it's every day. You know, we praise him every single day. We renew it every day. And what he's done with us is, I used to listen to music all the time on my way back home. And I always told the kids, like, Dad, what's up with the music? You're turning the music off. You're not putting it on. When I'm driving home from work, I feel that if I have music playing and everything else happening, I can't hear God speaking to me. So I drive home without music so I can hear him, because it's a still voice and it's so quiet. But you can hear him if you turn the world off. So you turn the world off, you're able to hear him and experience him. And the thing I was telling everybody yesterday was, you know, there was a couple of things, but one of the things was, is that I've always been saying this, and God's always told me to tell people this, is that, you know, we're responsible. No matter what we do, we have the ability to speak life, right? But we also have the ability to speak death. So whatever we speak, you know, we're held accountable to it. Like, let's just speak life. Our kids are sponges, right? Right now they need us the most. So the kids are sponges. And what does a sponge do? It soaks up its environment, correct? So if we fill them with hate, hate and anger and everything, when you squeeze it, you're going to squeeze out all that as well. And they're going to squeeze onto everything else. If you speak love, you speak life, and you show them Jesus, anything around them, when you squeeze them out, they will squeeze Jesus to everybody else. So it's going to overflow as well. So, you know, it is tough. You know, sometimes the sponge, it gets dirty. But with God, he's the water, and he will clean it off. And he'll have you do it again until you get it right. So our responsibility is it's tough, because lady yesterday had come in, or day before yesterday, into the mall and talked to me. And she's like, listen, I can't find a husband. I've had 2 husbands leave me. And I was, well, why? She's like, I don't know why I'm telling you this. I was like, you do know why. So just let me know. Just, I put my kids before my man. That's how it should be. And I said, that's where you're wrong. That's where you're wrong. So I thought the same thing. My kids are more important than everything because those are of me. And they said, and growing up and being saved, you realize that, because that's the mentality you have. Sometimes, you know, your kids are important to you. They're more important, and you forget like what's there. If your mom, if the mom and dad are together and united, that's a stronghold that you can't break. Kids will try to break you. They will pick one and try to break one, but together united, they can't. You know, as I said, is, you know, a son will watch how their dad treats the mom. So if he's loving towards him, you know, his mom, and just great to her and jokes with her and loves on her, he will see the same thing and he will do the same thing. Sponge is back again. The daughter as well. It's the hardest thing is, you know, being a father, because your son's watching, you're kind of like, hey, he's a little boy, he'll be tough. But when your daughter's watching you, the toughest thing is how to treat a woman, how to treat them with respect, right? You may get upset. There's times I get, I bite my tongue. I've done better. I bite my tongue and I realize, listen, my daughter's watching. Like, we'll have a conversation later, you know, because I don't want her thinking that a guy can yell at her and degrade her and that, and hold her back from what she is, right? You know, we need to build our kids up together as union. And, you know, I just challenge everybody, you know, whenever, my challenge was that whenever you're outside, cause everyone thinks that you come into church and this is how we around each other, right? And we're all in here in one little place. This has to be somewhere else. Church has to go outside of this place. You know, people think they just feel come in here. Over here, it's just a refreshing, it's a renewal to start your week. We're soldiers. We go out there. We battle. God puts people in places for a reason. You know, I felt guilty playing sports. I did. I love playing sports, but I love people. And how can I reach the people that need to be reached if I'm stuck inside one building? We need to go out there. God puts us in places. You know, also doing like working for the trash and in helping people out and talking to people and ministering to people. God puts us in places as well. When we're working in the restaurants and stuff, and you know, God puts us with people. It's just encounters that he puts us in. I'm in a mall. And I also go play sports and we talk to people as well with Tommy. You know, we're in the town. God puts people in places. It's not an accident. It's on purpose. And are we really doing what God's telling us to do? Are we staying quiet and letting them, how I've thought of it, is perish? Like, how does that make you feel? Think of a person that you see that you just wanted to hold in Jesus. We need to share him and share him as much as we possibly can. We don't know how long we're on this earth. And until we complete what we do, we need to go out there and share as much as we possibly can and go outside and touch everybody. Let's domino effect it. We can't do it. You can't change the world, but we can change the atmosphere around us. And that atmosphere will change around everybody else. And will we be united again? But love and mercy and judgment. So that's the way we can win. That's the way we tool up. So he jumped on me all day, all this morning. And I was like, I got it. Everyone's coming up. And I was like, man, those are good testimonies, man. Those are good ones too. Like, I don't know if mine can beat those ones, but God's like, it's not a competition. I was like, I'm a sports guy. Like, it always is. So I just won't say anything. And he's like, that's your problem. You lose if you don't do it. So if you never go out there and do it, you're already lost. So I was like, all right. He said, these are just things because people do not believe that I exist. People just think that God is not real because they cannot see him, feel him, or touch him. But that's what testimonies are for. Testimonies are to see, like, man, this guy knew nothing. And now through what I did and the works in him, people will know of me. and they will know that I exist. We all have testimonies. So let's just stop being afraid and let's start sharing it. And everybody enjoy your Father's Day, because it's not just today on paper, but every single day is Father's Day, and praise Him every single day. Thank you, guys.
I wrote a poem this past week about we sometimes put God in a box and we let the devil have full reign in our lives. So I just wanted to read this to you. It seems somehow our views in life have been twisted and distorted. We believed a lie for centuries and have ended up transported into a dangerous realm. But now it's time to take control and take back what's been lost. Let's put the devil in his rightful place and confine him to a box. For that lying little guy is the size of a fly and can be dealt with by me and you. So show that tiny speck who's boss. Find the smallest box, nail it shut, and toss it in the trash where it belongs. The devil has been defeated. God created all, my friend, even the evil one. That speck of dust can't harm you when you know who's your true boss. Now if you package God in a dusty box high upon a shelf, please let him out, my friend. God's not to be confined. He's so vast and has the power of even the raging sea. So if you truly trust him, let him out and set him free. He wants to live inside your heart for all the world to see. If you leave God in that dusty box, he does still have control, but he won't act for you. He's a gentleman, you know. He won't move within our lives if we limit him in size. Now the devil, my friend, has no control, but we've given him free rein. We've made him to be feared, but remember who you are. You're a child of the King. You have control, and God lives within your very soul when you keep your faith in him. So start living for God. He's bigger than any problem and more powerful than anything you ever placed above him. And all he wants from you, my friend, is to serve him and to love him.
God is so good, and God loves us so much. And, you know, we've been talking about all these great miracles that he's done and how he saved us. But we got to remember, he's a God that loves us. He wants us to be like a child. So ask for childish things. I'm going to give you a testimony of something that happened to me. And it seemed very simple, but God came through. And he can come through you, through anything. I mean, don't look at it being such a big, you know, he healed me. And they're wonderful testimony. And that's the power of him. But I remember I was going through, me and John were, all week we were busy. We were just busy. And I hadn't time to clean my house. So I set up, it was on a Friday, and John made an appointment to get the oil change. And I going, okay, Lord, you know, especially because he always likes to go early to get the oil change. But because of me, because I was going to go with him, he was going to go later. So I felt guilty if I didn't go with him because he changed his plans. So I woke up in the morning and I was just so overwhelmed with everything that I had to do because it was all week. And I asked God, I go, Lord, is there any way that I don't have to go with him? Would you talk to him? Would you say something to him for it? And then I said, I won't say it. I'll go. But Lord, if you can go before me and talk to him. So I got up. He was having his coffee. He tells me, you know what? You don't have to go with me. And I knew it was God. I knew I didn't have to tell him. He took care of it. So from the little things to the big things, he's there. And I just didn't want you just to think that he isn't there for the little things. He's always there for you, no matter what you do and what you need. He wants to be there for you.
This is perfect. Perfect. I just want to encourage the men. Can I have all the men stand up, please? Whether you're a dad or not, future men, or you, if you're a man, please stand up. We've heard testimony after testimony, just how gracious our Lord is and how he just moves just amongst people's lives and how he heals. And, you know, we have people, you know, talk about they've been depressed and, you know, healed and they need healing. And our God is good. He does that. And I just want to encourage the men in this house. This is for the ladies too, but mostly for the men, you dads. You guys are the head of the household. You guys are leaders. We're leaders. I'm learning this. This is, you know, I'm a young dad. This is stuff we're learning every day. We're leaders of our household, whether your kids are in the house or not. Whether you're 95 years old or 25 years old. I just want to encourage you guys, whether you guys need healing or you're depressed, you don't feel like it. It's the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. We're dealing with that. I mean, members of my family, there's people who are struggling with depression. And there are good days and bad days. But you know what? It's the good days, and it's going to continue to be the good days when we just worship him. I feel like I'm on repeat each time I come up here and talk. I'm going to rely on this every single time, but it's about worship. It's stepping out of the boat. I think I preached this last time. We're stepping out of the boat, folks. The Lord has made you men, leaders, whether you feel like it or not. Whether it's your personality or not, it's not about your personality. Because if it was our personality, the Lord would have made us all strong and loud, but not of us are strong, you know, loud. But he has called each and one of you to be leaders of your household and to your children and to your wives and to your nephew, whoever is in your life, family members in your life, you guys are men. And your wives and your children depend on you. It's the joy of the Lord. If you're feeling like broken, if you're feeling not, okay, my children are not serving the Lord, stand with open arms and just stand humble before the Lord, you know? It's the joy of the Lord. As Pastor Henry does. You know what I mean? So I just want to encourage you. Come on, men. Let's serve him. Let's move forward. Get out of the boat. Get out of your comfort zone. If it means during worship, you know, if you have to lift up a hand because you've never done it, lift up your hand. If it means to speak in tongues. I'm telling you right now, Lacey and I, you know, we're in the middle of going through some stuff, and worship and speaking in tongues is key. It's key. We have our good days, we have our bad days, and we're struggling, but together we have agreed that we are going to put our heads forward. You know, we're going to get, like a bull, we're just going to keep going. We're not going to stop. And as the head of my household, and I'm saying we are not going to stop. Sorry. And then during worship, I don't know if what you meant, like a lot of you, you know, have a lot of machismo and all that. That's super wonderful. And I just don't do it. It's not my personality. Neither is this. But if you have to come up and... Yeah. It looks funny. It feels funny. But I tell you, chains break when you start moving out of your boat and start doing something for the Lord. The chains of your feet start breaking. things change. It's not just in the physical, but it's your whole life around you. Your children are going to start calling you. I mean, it's amazing what happens when you step out of. I don't know. I didn't mean to do that. That was crazy. But come on. Yeah. So just next time we come to worship, or even at home, where you're driving your car, just close your eyes. I'm just kidding, not when you're in a car. When you're listening to music, worship Him. Worship Him in your car. I do it all the time. I drive all day long. You guys heard this before. That's my alone time with the Lord. I worship Him. And sometimes I don't care what people think when they're driving around. I sing. Sometimes I roll down the window, lift my hands up. Sometimes Lacey and I put the kids to bed. We have to stop watching Hulu sometimes. And sometimes we'll just put on the Christian music, huh? And just as husband and wife, as leaders of our home, worship Him. So let's just be, I want this to be an encouragement. You know what I mean? It's, woo! Let the chains break. Let the chains break. In worship, honor Him where honor is due. With a flag or without a flag. It's time to be leaders, men. It's time to be fathers to your children or just people around you. So I know this is really, it's 12:30. At the men, we're thinking about food. I am thinking about food. I understand. But can I have you guys come forward and to have all the women just stand right behind them, behind your man, because behind a good man is a strong woman. And this wasn't a message of like, you know, men power. Woo! This is about, this is what the Lord has called us and the call that, and He has called great women to stand behind us and to co-stand behind us, like side by side, and to support us and support our family. Lord, we just come before You, God. We just thank You for this Sunday. Thank You for Father's Day, God. We just thank You, God, that, Lord, You are fathers of all fathers, God. You are our mentor, Lord God. You are our role model, Lord God. As men, Lord God, we look up to You, Father. And we, Lord, have a humble heart. Because, Lord, we can't do this. I can't do this. Lord, I suck as a father. I do. I really do. But Lord, every day I come before You, God, and I trust You, and I rely on You. And I just say, Lord, help me through this situation. Lord, my children, they're crazy. But Lord, help me. The mind of the Father right here, the mind, Lord, let me think the way You think every day. Just Turn that knob, Father God. Help me to be who You want me to be. These are Your children, Father God. These are Your children, not mine. So help me the way You want me to talk to them, and how You want me to raise them, Father God. And that's just my prayer, God. I thank You for my children. Thank You for these men. Thank You for their children and their wives, Lord God. I just ask, Lord God, as a congregation, Saguarita House of Worship, of God, will just have men, leaders, Lord God, that will step out of the boat, Father God, that will come forth, will speak out on the microphone, will learn to raise their hand, dance, whatever, bow their knees, we'll turn it up to another notch in worship, Father God. A, in here in the house of the Lord, B, at home, and C, in their personal time. Lord, we just thank You for this time together. Happy Father's Day, Lord. Happy Father's Day. And happy Father's Day to all you men. We just thank You, Lord. We love You. We appreciate for everything that You've done in this men's group, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Shall we order lunch? We should order lunch. One more. When Rick was talking, is this on? Okay, when Rick was speaking, I heard the Lord say, walk in the Spirit. For you. All the men. I just saw that. And not that you're not walking in the Spirit or that you won't be walking, but whenever you're facing a circumstance or oh, the rent's due or whatever fear, or whatever is going on around you in that outside of that boat, walk in the Spirit. And then a scripture that the Lord gave me was one of my favorites is Psalm 27. And it says, and I'll read it in the Passion Translation. It says, Yahweh is my revelation light and the source of my salvation. I fear no one. He's saying, fear not, I'm with you. Fear not, for I'm with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. No matter what you're dealing with, no matter what that voice is telling you, oh, he's left you. You're alone. You're not alone. You're never alone. He says, I'll never turn back and run. For you, Yahweh, surround and protect me. When evil ones come to destroy me, they will be the ones who turn back. Skipping to 4 says, here's the one thing I crave from Yahweh. The one thing I seek above all else. I want to live with him every moment in his house, beholding the marvelous beauty of Yahweh, filled with awe, delighting in his glory and grace. I want to contemplate in his temple. David's talking about being in the presence of God because there was no temple built at the time. So what was he saying? I want to be in your presence. That's the one thing. We seek a lot of things. We even have the scripture, you know, one thing that changed my life was seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So that initial pursuit was because I wanted to step into all these things, whether it's ministry or finances or relationships, whatever those things were, that was the initiation of my pursuit of the king. And that was the scripture that I stood on, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But my first favorite scripture says one thing, one thing have I desired to be in your temple, to be in your presence, to see your face, God. When we find ourselves in the pursuit of one thing, that will change the world, that will change your world. One more, I just wanted, and I should have said this a few weeks ago, but this year, me and Rachel are celebrating 20 years of being married. And you said, you know, hey, behind every good man, I don't know how good I am, but there's a great woman, and she's a great woman. And our oldest son is right here, our youngest son is there, the other son's working, but when I became a father, Joshua made me a dad, you know, it was very, very early on when Rachel was going to go to the doctor to find out, you know, if we're pregnant or not. She said, I'm pretty sure we're pregnant. And that's a scary thing to bring forth life because as some of you may know, it doesn't always happen. Sometimes you lose a child and that's a heartbreaking thing. And we were a little nervous about it and everything. But before she told me, you know, confirmed that we're pregnant, she had a dream or a vision, and I'm probably not doing justice to it. But she says, I heard the Lord speak to me. He said, we're going to have a son and his name is Joshua. We're going to have a son and his name is Joshua. Before the doctor said we were pregnant, the Lord said, we're going to have a son. That's not the first time that he's told her things like that. And she's been able to actually prophesy that to other people that were in a situation, you know, but the Lord speaks, listen. Acknowledge him, know his voice, seek his face. He's available. He's a good dad. On this Father's Day that we honor fathers, we honor him. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Daddy.
Thank you, brother. Am I on? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Can we stand? We're gonna do one more thing here.
Hallelujah. I know that a lot of folks have gone. The roast is burning. Amen. Praise God, man. Hallelujah. I enjoy this today. I enjoy hearing from everybody. I really do. Everyone's got a testimony. Amen. And you know, boy, it would take a long time to get through all these testimonies. Amen. But praise God. It's okay. We did. I mean, I believe God has been glorified in our house this morning. I believe God has heard some things. He says, yeah. You know, the Bible says that they overcame him who I'm talking about. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Your testimony is so important. Don't ever lay it down. Don't ever think, well, everybody's heard it 1,300 times, because sometimes I feel that way. And with my testimonies in this house, that's why I wasn't going to give you any this morning. Because the fact of the matter is, your testimony is powerful. It will change lives. Amen. And you just don't know how bad. The children of Israel used to, when they were following Joshua, as a matter of fact, they went around Jericho and they were told something. They said, you don't talk. How many say amen to that? Amen. Keep your mouth shut. How many ever wanted to tell somebody that? Keep your mouth shut. But as they went around the last day, they went around seven times. Remember that? On the seventh day, they went around seven times. And Joshua told them that morning, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, shout, for the Lord has delivered the city into your hand. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. I believe the Lord is delivering our city into our hand. It is up to us to believe that. It is up to us to believe that God can do far abundantly above all that we ask or think. Amen. Hallelujah. So would you this morning, let me just pray. And if you hear a trumpet, I need you.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.